Jim Elliot was perhaps one of the more famous missionaries of the last century. He was an American, he grew up in a Christian family, and he first trusted Jesus when he was just 6 years old. After high school, he went on to Bible college, and he became convinced that he needed to go overseas to tell people who didn't know about Jesus all about him. He became particularly interested in a tribe in Ecuador who had very little contact with the outside world. He felt compelled to meet them and to tell them about Jesus. But they had a reputation for being incredibly violent towards outsiders. In fact, their tribal name was literally translated as savage. Nevertheless, he put a team together and he headed out into the jungle to make contact with them. It was in the early stages of meeting them that he and his four companions were brutally murdered by warriors from the tribe. He'd previously written in his journal this quote, where he set out the fact that he felt sharing Jesus was more important than his own life. He wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Amazingly, his wife Elizabeth actually continued to work with the tribe even after Jim's death. And he actually lived with them in the jungle for 2 years. Well, as we come to church this morning on this, what is hopefully going to be the first of many Mission Sundays, I wonder what comes into your mind when you think about mission. For me, and I suspect perhaps for lots of us here, it's this idea of the super Christian going across to far-flung corners of the earth, sharing Jesus with people who've never heard about him before. Well, it might be partly about that. It's also partly about here at home. Another famous missionary, Helen Rosevere, said this: "Each of us is called by God and sent out to serve him. It doesn't matter how far he sends you. It might be to your next door neighbour. Distance has got nothing to do with it." Well, this morning we're going to have a think about this passage at the end of Matthew's Gospel, commonly referred to as the Great Commission, where Jesus instructs his followers to go and make disciples of him in all nations. We're going to consider how we can be a part of it, whether that's working on our doorstep or working across the world, and how we might support those who go and travel for mission. I think it's a fitting way to end our sermon series on the whole of life for Christ, and a great thing to be thinking about on this Mission Sunday. So as we look at this short but really important passage, we'll be thinking about three people or person groups that are involved in any mission work. And conveniently, they all start with the letter M. So if you've got a service sheet to hand, have a look at the back cover and it'll show you where we're going today. And if your Bible's closed, it's on page 1001 is where we're going to be looking at. It'll be helpful to have that open. So here's our first category of people. First of all, we have the messengers. Have a look with me at the start of that passage again, verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." This passage comes right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, one of the accounts of Jesus' life on earth, documents everything right from his birth up until this point in time, covers Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection to new life 3 days later. And it was when the women first went to the tomb that they got the instructions about this meeting. Jesus said to them back in chapter 28, "Do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And so the 11 disciples go as instructed. 11 because, of course, Judas, one of the 12, had betrayed Jesus and had assisted with handing him over to the chief priests for the payment of 30 silver coins. Seeing Jesus condemned, Judas was seized with remorse, and he went on to hang himself. Well, we don't know if anyone else was there apart from the 11, but we do know that on first seeing Jesus, there was a bit of a mixed response. Some fell down and worshipped him on sight, recognizing he was the risen Lord Jesus who'd conquered death, risen in victory, and now reigned in his risen life. Others were not convinced, and they doubted. We don't know what the specific reasons were, but it's not hard to imagine what they might be, is it? They'd all seen him die. They'd all seen him placed in a tomb. Could this really be Jesus alive again? Surely this must be some kind of elaborate hoax. Are my eyes deceiving me? We know from elsewhere that Simon Peter had already denied Jesus during his trial, and Thomas was a famous doubter. Yet it's what Jesus does next that's the really important bit. He doesn't sort the worshippers into the doubters and the believers. He doesn't select his all-star dream team of worldwide missionaries there on the spot. He speaks to them. He reassures them about his authority. And he commissions all of them to go and make disciples for him in the world. He includes them all in his mission team. I think that's a remarkable thing and something that gets a little bit of getting used to, doesn't it? Because we're so hardwired to think that in society our value is derived by our ability and our success. Just think back to all those times that teams were picked for PE in school. I remember it well because I was always the guy that was picked last. Every single time. And you know what? In terms of ability, those team captains were spot on. I was always the worst. But Jesus' approach is completely different. He graciously wants all his followers on his mission team, even those who are not 100% sure. And the other thing to note here with regards to Jesus' messengers is that he asked the 11 disciples simply to go and make more disciples. He's asking those who already follow him to go and help others to do the same. There are no special gifts, no special powers, no special status involved. It's merely one follower going to make some more. So if we'd call ourselves a follower of Jesus here this morning, then this commission is there for us too. Mission is not something reserved for those super Christians like Jim Elliot, or even for people wearing dog collars, or even people who are part of a church staff team. There is no such thing as a super Christian. All Christians doubt at times. All Christians wonder at times. But all can be sustained by the Lord Jesus if we ask him to. God wants to use us. He wants to use each of us in his mission team. Well, that's the first M, the messenger. So we come to the second. Each messenger has got to have a message. And this message is always about Jesus. Mission's always about Jesus. Whether that might be the direct proclamation of what he is about in direct evangelism to people who need to hear, or more indirect social mission like Simon's referring to earlier, when Christians are acting in love to those around them with the hope that they might point people to the one who is loving to them. In this short passage, we get a nice little summary about what we're supposed to tell people about Jesus. Let's look at verse 18. These are the words Jesus used to reassure those who were doubting. He says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Having risen from the dead in glory, God the Father now entrusts all authority to Jesus. There is now no limit of his authority. He has conquered sin and conquered death, those greatest enemies of man. And now he rules and he reigns in heaven and on earth below. And did you notice that it's from this authority that Jesus' commission is derived? Look, verse 19 starts, Therefore, because of this authority, calls of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. If the authority of Jesus is without geographical limit, then so is the commission to go and make followers. It mirrors it. They're instructed to baptize in the name of the Trinity, that great symbol on the outside of the work that the gospel is doing on the inside of a person, washing people clean from their sin by Jesus' atoning death on the cross. I always think the baptism of a believer is a wonderful thing to watch as we think about that new life that Jesus has given. It's great to see Wren baptized just a few weeks ago like that, wasn't it? But the disciples are also commissioned to teach. The second key characteristic of going to work to make people followers. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because how else can you be a disciple if nobody has taught you? A disciple is simply somebody who has heard, understood, and then obeyed the teaching that they have heard. Do you see that their obedience is that end point goal of making disciples? Jesus is looking for people to actively be following him with their whole lives. Just what we've been thinking about in this sermon series. And there's that other all-encompassing term in that statement too, there isn't there? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. As disciples, it's not our place to pick and choose what we tell people about Jesus. We speak of the one who has all authority over all heaven and all earth. He knows and controls what will happen with the words that we say. We don't need to manipulate our message to increase our chances of success. That is all God's work. He is in charge of the results. Because the gospel is already the best news that everybody in the world needs to hear. If Jesus' authority is limitless, then so also is his companionship. See how he closes in verse 20. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Can't you just feel the reassurance and the love that emanates from such a wonderful statement? Surely, always, to the very end. There is no limit to the companionship and love that Jesus has for those who follow him and do his work. No matter how tough it might be, no matter how good or bad the results might be, and wherever you are in the world, Jesus promises by his Spirit to be right there alongside you. The one who has all authority everywhere chooses to be with us. These are important words to the disciples first hearing them. It must have seemed to them at a time like such a whirlwind, everything going by so fast. Jesus had only just been crucified on the cross, now he's risen to life, and about to go back to heaven and not be with them face to face. They needed that reassurance of his authority. He really had risen from the dead. They needed the instructions about sharing the good news around the world, because Jesus was going back to heaven and he was entrusting that job to them. And they certainly needed the comfort that he was always going to be with them. Even though he's about to be physically separated from them, through all the trials and persecutions they would face, they needed to know he was standing there right with them. And if we think about it, our needs are not so dissimilar to them, are they? I don't know about you, but I too need to hear that Jesus has authority over all heaven and all earth. I too need to hear that mission to taking the message to the whole world is for me too. And I certainly need the comfort that in doing it, Jesus will be right there with me. All disciples are messengers, and we have a great message of our Lord Jesus came down to earth to rescue his people, even dying in their place on that cross for those who did not deserve it, now risen to life in glory and ruling and reigning in heaven. That same Lord of heaven and earth who wants to dwell with us and help us know him forever. That is the great message that we carry as his messengers. Well, finally, if we've got a message and we've got messengers, then we need some hearers, don't we? But hearers doesn't begin with H, so we're calling it making mature disciples. Here's our third group. We want to make mature disciples. If we go back to those first thoughts about mission at the start, my idea of mission is always, as I said, that person going abroad to the far-flung corners of the earth, sharing the good news with people, helping them trust Jesus for the first time, and then moving on, going to the next place the next person needs to hear. But Jesus is painting quite a different picture here, isn't he? He's not simply asking the disciples to make early converts, who those who just have heard and believed. He's asking them to make fellow disciples, those who have heard, those who understand, those who obey. He's asking them to go baptizing them. He's asking them to teach. Not just teach a little, but to teach everything that Jesus had taught them. Jesus is asking the disciples to go and make more mature believers. Not just those who've been given the headlines of the faith, but those who've been taught the deep riches of the truth that we find in the Bible. While he was on earth, Jesus preached on a wide variety of issues. He made many references to the Old Testament and showed how it was still relevant to today. He gave extensive teaching on how we should live and how we should love one another. He spent months and years living alongside those who he was discipling. And it's this model that Jesus wants us to carry on. This is how we make disciples. So he wants mature believers, but he also wants mature believers in all nations. Just like his authority, there's no geographical limit to the people that he wants to reach with the good news of the gospel. So yes, that does mean we should be thinking about gospel mission overseas and worldwide, hopefully what we're going to be doing about today. Of the nearly 7 billion people in the world, very few live in a Christian country. The results of the Great Commission may show that the gospel has spread a long way from where it started and has largely gone around the world. But there are still many people in each of those countries who do not know Jesus. However, the need for home mission is also growing, isn't it? This country is increasingly moving away from its Christian heritage, moving to that postmodern era when we're told we don't need God, we've got everything we need. By and large, children no longer grow up hearing Bible stories on a Sunday morning in Sunday school. They don't even hear it in weekday school. Church attendance continues to fall, and our country is more multicultural than it ever has been before. Think about this parish of Kilnurst and how many thousands of people live within its boundary. And then we look around at our relatively small numbers here today. How many people on our doorstep need reaching for Jesus? Mission fields are everywhere, aren't they? We don't need to go to some savage, long-forgotten tribe in Ecuador to find people who need to hear. There are those who need the message of mission on our streets, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our families, in our own homes. Helen Rosevere was completely right. Distance has got nothing to do with it. For the disciples, this commission led to them travelling across the world, sharing the good news of Jesus. You can read about that story in the book of Acts as we see the word emanating out from Jerusalem across the region. They often spent long periods of time in one place, teaching those who were there everything that they had been taught by Jesus. For us today, that mission can be anywhere. To those who are hearing about Jesus for the first time, to those who are new to the faith and needing an older brother or sister to teach them how they follow Jesus and why he is the best news in the world. There is mission everywhere for us all to be involved in. But what do we take away from a passage like this morning? I don't know about you, but when I'm faced with such a massive task, I often struggle to know where to start. I need to break it down into some little pieces, make it achievable. Well, I'd say firstly, if you wouldn't count yourself as a disciple of Jesus here this morning, it's great to have you. And it'd be great to speak to you after the service if you want to find out how we at St. Thomas's can help you know more about Jesus for yourself. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then there are lots of ways that you can be involved in mission. The first and probably the biggest challenge is that we can be personally speaking to people about Jesus ourselves. If you've been in home groups this term, then I found the Rico Dice book, Honest Evangelism, has been really helpful for that, as a challenge and an encouragement. And I thoroughly recommend the read if you haven't read it already. Why not now think of one person that you know needs the good news of Jesus, and think about how you might be able to speak to them about it. Perhaps quite nervous, understandably, as I would be, about doing that yourself. Well, why not invite them along to church so that somebody else can do the speaking for you? Lots of midweek groups and Sunday services to bring people along to. Secondly, we can pray for somebody else who's involved in mission. As we've been hearing this morning, we now have these 7 mission partners working in lots of different ways in lots of different places. why not pick one of them and commit to pray for their work and for those individuals doing it? Hopefully you got one of these bookmarks this morning when you came in. Stick it in a book that you read regularly, maybe even your Bible. Remind yourself to pray for those who are involved in mission. And as a mission team, we're going to be doing our best to keep you informed about what our mission partners are up to. And finally, you could also consider giving financially to the work of mission, both in this parish and further afield. The PCC is committed to give regularly to all of these seven mission partners. We're talking about a target of giving away, hopefully, £350 a month to all of them combined. But at the moment, the church budget doesn't have the money to do that. We need to think and search for ourselves, see if we could give willingly and joyfully to support this work of mission in all these different places. We follow the great recognised Bible pattern of churches giving together as a family to support those who are doing God's work elsewhere. So Jesus gives us a great commission to make disciples of all nations. Let's be praying that we'll be doing his work as a church family, recognising his authority, preaching his good news, and knowing his comforting presence until the very end of this age, that others may come to know him and make mature disciples in the faith. Amen.